Everybody say amen.
Amen.
We are reserving or working on that reservation now for that robe and that crown. We ought to be satisfied and happy that God has allowed us and given us one more opportunity to serve Him, to work on getting that robe and crown. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let the church say amen once again.
Amen.
It's good to be in the household of the Lord, of our church, the Church of Christ, this morning. God has given His Son that we might have this opportunity for the tree of life, and He built this church while He yet hung on yonder's cross. So thank God for that. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O Lord, our blessed Heavenly Father, You are the Maker, You are the Creator, and You are the everything in our lives. We thank You, Lord. Father, You know what condition we're in. You know the condition of our mind, our body, and our soul. Thank You, O Lord. Father, I thank You this morning that You have blessed us and given us an opportunity to be here. Father, I thank You for every blessing that You have poured out upon us. I thank You for the blessings of this morning. I thank You for the blessing of last night, the safety of last night, the serenity and the peace of last night. Thank You, Lord. Lord, I thank You for this upcoming day as we are into it now. And I just pray, O Heavenly Father, that we can make it through this day with You, O Lord. Lord, I pray for all of the leaders of this congregation and their families. I pray for the brethren of this congregation and their families, especially those who have taken part in the services this morning. Father, I pray for the sick and the shut-in all over the world, but especially those who are members of the household of faith. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who have lost loved ones and are grieving the loss of loved ones. I just pray, O Heavenly Father, that You would grant unto them the peace and the serenity that they need to continue on. Help them to understand that dying is simply a part of living. Thank You, Lord. Father in heaven, we pray, and we pray for the politicians that are in our lives today, O Lord, those that make the rules and the regulations that we must live by. I pray that they make not make any laws contrary to us serving You in spirit and in truth. I thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in the armed forces this morning, serving to keep our country free and standing at the front line of the battlefield. We just pray and thank You, Lord. We pray and thank You for them and their families, and we pray and ask You to guard, guide, and give them safety and compassion, O Lord. Have compassion upon them. Now, my Heavenly Father, I pray for the churches of Christ everywhere, especially those who hold up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, be with us as we move on into these services. Bless each and every one of us, the brothers who have taken part thus far, and each and every one who will take part in the services from this point on. Be with us, watch over, and keep us, O Lord, in the name of Your Son, Jesus. I pray and ask it all. Amen. This morning, from the book of Acts, chapter 27, we're going to cover most of that chapter this morning, but I just had the first four verses read. This morning, for a subject, we're going to use, sometimes your ship can't weather the storms all alone. Sometimes your ship can't weather the storm all alone. In the book of Acts, we find an account of the journey of Paul from Caesarea to Rome, approximately some 2,000 miles. It was a journey full of bad happenings. This voyage, like our lives, had a start or a beginning, and just like this journey called life, it also has an ending. This journey that the Bible speaks of today is where we find the Apostle Paul and other prisoners. Let us look at this biblical event, which some of us may see ourselves in this story. We may know about life's rocky way. We may know what it means to have the winds howling in our lives. So how do we handle the storms that come upon us? Let us look at the way the Bible deals with it. The voyage in our text had ran into dangerous conditions. Paul tried to warn the crew that they should wait for better conditions in order to spare lives and cargo. Today, parents may offer warnings to their children, but many times our children won't hear their parents. And far too often, disastrous things happen. For example, we tell our children when they first start driving not to drive so fast. But the children themselves, they say to themselves, they won't know if I speed a little. And sometimes the first time they do it, an accident may occur, and they say something like this, "Oops, my bad." Neither one of these can reverse the action. So a warning was told to Pilate in Matthew 27 and verse 19, where he was sitting down on the judgment seat to judge Christ. His wife sent word to him to have nothing to do with that just man. But he didn't completely listen to his wife. Ladies, I'm on your side right now. Brothers, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. When our wives tell us something, sometimes we need to listen to the sisters. When she said, "Go right," and we get stubborn and decide to go left and get lost, then we have to humble ourselves and backtrack. What a humbling moment that is. That's when your ship could not weather the storm all alone. Then we get mad at her because she has the look of "I told you so." She don't say it. She just looks at us. That's because we did not heed the warning up front when she first told us to go to the right. So we got to learn to listen, and I'm just as guilty of it as many of you might be. I don't always listen because for some reason we seem to think that we already know everything, but we don't. So when you look at Acts 27, look at in particular verse number 4 there, it said, "And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary." In other words, there were some winds coming up now. And these were the signs of things to come. The first sign of an upcoming storm is when the winds begin to blow. Look at verse number 13, if you will. "And when the south winds blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing them, they sailed close by Crete." In other words, the Bible tells us the south winds blew gently, and it may have given a false sense of security to the crew of the boat. It's usually only a preview of what may be coming our way. The crew of Paul's ship thought this soft wind was a sign that the worst of everything was over. So they set sail, figuring that there should be no trouble on their journey. Just when our lives seem to be going so right, troubles have a way of finding us. Job told us in Job 14 and 1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of," guess what? Trouble. So trouble is going to come into our lives. Some of us are going to have some storms, and it may be sickness. Some of us may get hurt physically or emotionally. We have material occurrences in our life. Some may be financial in nature. There may be a fire or an automobile breakdown. But thanks be to God, these storms will pass at some point in time. But then when we go a little further in this text today, we find the big storm came. In verse number 14, notice verse number 14 if you will. "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Erech Ladan, Or in other words, what the weather people today call a northeaster. The ship could not stand against the wind. The ship was tossed about, and the crew began to unload some unnecessary baggage in order to lighten up the load of the ship. Sometimes, church, when the storms are raging in our lives, when it seems as though nothing you can do to upright your ship, there comes a time when we need to throw some things out of our lives. It may be evil thoughts. It could be an unrighteous living, your unrighteous living. Whatever it may be, the crew did just that in Acts 18 and verse number 19. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They had to pull the ship basically apart almost in order to get going to lighten up the load. Now I may as well tell you right now, there is a difference in our storms and this ship storms. For us, it may not be a storm, a literal storm on the water, but it may be, result in just the same disastrous effect. How many times have you heard the term people use for heavy troubles? They say, I'm drowning in my own troubles. Some even go as far as to say what Ray Charles said, and I'm drowning in my own tears. After you have thrown the things you don't need out of your life, it's time to drop anchor. Oh, and this is the Christian part. Now I want you to hear this part. In Acts 27, verse 29, the Bible says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wish for the day. Now, when you have to cast your anchors out, that means you're in deep trouble. Now, make sure that these anchors are the Word of God, prayer, hope, and faith. And somebody may say, well, why? Because God's Word, according to Psalms 119:105, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Luke 18 and verse number 1, men ought to always to pray. Titus 1 and 2, hope, we need hope because God promised to us before the world began and he cannot lie. Finally, church, there's faith. We need to drop the anchor of faith, for without it, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and 6. So when it seems as though you can't go any further, when your ship is no longer can weather the storm all alone, you need help from the Lord God. And as I say often, God may not remove you out of the storm, but he can help you to navigate through it. Because there's no storm that God can't get us through. He has the peace to make the storms be still. He has the power to get us through it. He has the right, and if he has the right relationship with the storms that we face in our lives. The question becomes, do we have the right relationship with him? Yes, we are going to meet some storms in our lives, but it makes a difference who you have on board your ship. If you travel with Satan, you can expect bad things to happen. If you travel with Jesus, your opportunity for a good outcome is greater. Paul knew the ship couldn't make it through the storm alone, and he understood God had an angel that stood by him. Look at verse number 23. He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Do you serve the angel of God? Do you serve God and his angels? Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and to God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. In other words, God wasn't going to kill them. God wasn't going to take their lives. Sometimes it seems as though stuff is going on in our lives and we just want to give up. How many times have you faced a storm in your life and you say, I can't take it anymore? And you learn to fall down upon your knees and to ask God to help you get through it. Now, God may not take you out of the storm. He may leave you in it and take you halfway through out of it and let you taste what's in store if you don't live right. Or he may send you all the way through the storm. But in any case, God has the power to get you in or out of the storm. And when I tell you that you're going to face some storms, I always like to say, you're either just coming out of a storm, you're just going into one, or one is waiting for you to hit you just as soon as it can possibly hit you. Paul knew the ship couldn't make it through the storm alone, but he knew that he had God on his side, the angel of God. You can call on God in times of storms in your life. So when I go back and look at verse number 4, it all started there because the winds were contrary. Then in verse number 10, he said to them, he warned them, he said, "Sir, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also for our lives." Nevertheless, in verse number 11, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the things which were spoken by Paul. How many people believe everything the world puts out there rather than believe in the word of God? Sometimes when we try to teach people the word of God, we run into opposition. We try to tell somebody how good God is and they don't want to hear it. But you just try, and if you can't get them to hear you, then you shake the dust off and keep going. Look at verse number 13. "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete." But look what happened. "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive." In other words, we let her run before the wind. "And running under a certain island called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. When they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand. Straight sail, and so were driven." And look at verse number 18. This is what happens in our life. "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighten the ship." When that storm brews in our lives, sometimes it can be devastating. Verse number 19. "And the third day we cast out with our own hands in the tackling of the ship. When neither the sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, we all hoped that we should be saved, was then taken away." Some days the sun just don't want to seem to shine in our lives. Our lives are dark and gray, and we just don't understand what's going on. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now," in verse 22, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and to God. And lo, God given thee all them that sail with thee." Verse number 25. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me." In other words, Paul believed in God. Do you believe in God when God tells you something? When you read something in God's word, you can believe it's going to come true. "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, we were driven up and down in Adria. About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. You see, God pulled them through this storm, and he can pull you through a storm. And I don't know what kind of storm you may be going through, but you are certainly in good hands if you trust in the Lord. God has experience in storms. God knows all about the storms, for he made the wind, he made the sea, and he made the waves. So God knows all about it. Before you even get into the storm, God knows about it. When you call on God to get you through a storm or out of a storm, you got to think to yourself, do I have that faith that I spoke of a minute ago? Faith that I believe in what I'm asking for. Faith that I believe that God can do what I'm asking him to do. And look at verse number 30. As the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under colors, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except thee abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless you're in the Lord, you cannot be saved. You got to think about what the Lord has done for us. He came down to this earth. He hung, he bled, and he died on yonder's cross to give us an opportunity to the tree of life. If God can come down to this world, send his son into this world, to allow him to hang on the cross, to allow him to be crucified, to allow him to raise up, resurrected again, and come back to life, don't you think that's power? That's power, church. And whatever storm you are facing is nothing compared to what Christ went through. Whatever storm you may be facing is nothing compared to what Jesus has already seen happen in his life. Whatever storm you may be going through, there's nothing that Jesus can't handle. So when we continue on with this chapter, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. But look at here in verse number 34. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. God saved them all. He can save you. So I ask you, do you have the right relationship with God this morning that he can get you through a storm? Do you trust in God that he can take you through whatever you're going through? God is good this morning. God will take us through whatever we may be going through. And I know some of us have awful storms in our lives. Some of us have storms that make us say, I can't go on. Some of us have storms that say, Lord, I can't carry this burden anymore. Please, Lord, relieve me of this burden. God knows just when to relieve you of your burden. God knows when to take you out of the storm. God knows when you have gone as far as you can go. You know, we serve a good God. And I'd like to tell you for a moment something about that God, the God that we serve, the only God. He is all powerful. He is everywhere and anywhere at the same time. He is all over the place. He is in heaven, but his reach is all the way down here to earth. When I think about how good God is, I'll ask myself sometime, and I've asked you the same question, and nobody can answer me. Lord, why are you so good to me? But I know why. Because he loves us. And we, half the time, don't love him back. How many times have we decided, I hear what the Bible is saying, but I really can't do what the Bible says for me to do? Oh, you may not say that exactly, but your action shows that. When the Bible tells us to get up on Sunday morning and come to the household of faith, where is everybody? When the Bible tells us we are to serve the Lord in spirit and truth, why isn't the church full? You can blame it on the preacher and say it's the way he preaches if you want to. But that's not the reason why the church is not full. The reason the church is not full is because somebody got up this morning and said, I can't make it this morning. I'm not going this morning. I've got to clean up my car. I've got to clean up the house. I've got to get ready for Monday morning. But yet you're going to make it on Monday morning, but you can't make it on Sunday morning. All because you don't trust in the word of the Lord. It has to be. Because if the word says, be here when the church door, when the doors of the church swing open, you ought to be here. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, Hebrews 10:25. But somebody doesn't believe that. Somebody believes that they can do better than what Hebrews 10:25 tells us. But then, when you look at the matter even further, you ask yourself this question. Am I greater than God? Or is the Lord greater than me? I say the Lord is greater than all of us put together. All of us put together can't reach, can't have the strength and the power that the Lord has. Isn't that right, church? I say all of us put together can't have the power that the Lord has. You see, when I went to bed last night, I didn't make the tomorrow. Tomorrow was already in the plan, whether I made it or not. And when I got up this morning, I thanked God for waking me up. And I know it was His power and His goodness and His grace that caused me to get up. Just like on that ship that couldn't make it, couldn't weather the storm, Paul told him, don't worry about it. The angel of God was watching over me. And he made it through. And nobody was hurt or harmed or killed. Now that's power. And when it comes, you know, we tend to think that our money is our power. And before you say anything, I'm not saying anybody shouldn't have money. We should all try to obtain a little money. Because when you go to Jewel, they don't want to hear the word of God. They want some money out of your pocket. So all of us should try to have a little bit of money. But when you get that little bit of money, don't stop coming to church. Don't stop serving the Lord our God. For you are going to run into a storm one day and you're going to need some help getting through it because your ship won't be able to weather the storm all alone. Your ship may not float right. Your ship may fall over sideways. The winds may keep your ship from going anywhere and you're stranded out in the middle of a life storm without any help. You need some help to get through the storms because your boat won't take the storms all alone. So when I go a little further and I look at it a little deeper, I know that the Lord can make a way for us all. He has already paved the way and He can make a way if you need a way. God will supply all of our needs. Thank you, Brother Hill. Brother Lowe, thank you too. I need a little help here this morning. I need you to, let me see. Oh yeah, I got a couple of more minutes. I need you to understand that in the storms of life, when they brew up in your life, and they are going to brew up in your life, it's just a matter of the severity of the storm. You're going to get a storm or two in your life, and you're going to need some help in some of them sometime. But you've got to be in a right relationship with the Master in order to go to Him, because He has a relationship with the storm. And when I say he has a relationship, he can cause the wind not to blow in your life. He can stop the waves from beating against the boat in your life, into the boat of your life. He can stop the wind, the sea from being rocky and wavy in your life. Thank you, church, this morning, that God is able to get us through. God will not leave us alone if we have the right relationship with him. And how do you develop that relationship? Well, you've got to learn to respect and obey and be obedient to his word. The word of God gives us all the instructions we need for life. And I know some of our Bibles are this thick and some of them are that thick. But whatever your Bible, whatever, however many pages are in your Bible, you need to read each and every one of them and learn to accept what the Word of God says, because you can't do anything about it anyway. But obey it. And then when you consider that God is anywhere, everywhere, in all places at the same time, where can you go to get away from him? So your relationship with him needs to be formed and be a right relationship with him. Because I tell you once again, you're going to get a storm or two in your life. Some of them you'll be able to handle. Some of them you'll be able to walk right through them and get by unscathed. But some of them are going to throw you for a loop. Some of them are going to do you just like you have done the Lord, perhaps. That is, ignore you. So you need to form that relationship with him. I know it's kind of warm in here, but we're going to be through in a few minutes. If you were outside over a barbecue grill, you'd stand there. So just sit here and go with me for a few more minutes. Stay with me now. That's all I'm asking you. Just stay with me for a few minutes. I'll be done in a minute. I'm almost finished, but I'm not quite at the finish line, but I'm getting there. Just stay with me. And when the Lord calls you, and if you're not in a right relationship with him, you won't wind up in heaven. So guess where you'll wind up? And it's going to be hot down there. It's going to be super hot. You think it's hot in here, just wait until you get there. So you need to form the relationship with him that you won't get there. You know, hell is no place for a Christian to be. Heaven is the place we want to get to. You see, I don't know about you, but I got a whole bunch of questions I want to ask some of the Bible people. You know, I need to question Peter for a little while. I need to talk with John for a little while. I need to ask them some questions about what they meant when they said what they said. And I want to have a right relationship with them so that I can get there. Now, I don't know about you, but you should want to have that same right relationship. You know, I'm going to look for each and every one of you when I get there. You see, I'm confident. I'm being confident. I'm saying it as it may be so. When I get there, I'm going to look for each and every one of you. You know, and like I tell you all the time, don't look for me when you're standing there going before the judgment seat, because I can't help you then. I will not be able to help you. See, I'm trying to help you now. But I won't be able to help you when you get down there. Oh, there's Brother Carter. Call him. He can vouch for me. No, he can't. He's going the other direction. He's going to be trying to save himself and trying to remember some of the good things that he did and remember some of the good things that he, good acts he performed, that I can give it to the Lord. See, he's going to have the book, but I'm going to try to help myself out a little bit more if I can. And you ought to want to be in that relationship that you can do that too. But I will have no character references for you. Your resume is being written as you live. And you, whatever goes on your resume, that's what's going to come out on your resume. So I'm asking you now, Form that relationship with him right now that you may be able to see his face in peace. Now, sometimes your ship can't get through the storm, can't weather the storm all alone. But I know somebody who can weather the storms right with you. And you need to know him too. And if you don't know him, you need to learn, you need to get to know him. I'm talking about none other than Jesus Christ. So how do I get to know him, preacher? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repentance, confessing, and then being baptized. It's a little chilly on the outside, but Brother Jackson will still baptize you if you need that today. Won't you, Brother Jackson? All right, he said, okay. And if you have already done that, but you some kind of way you feel like you've walked astray, ask God to forgive you. Come forward, ask the church to pray for you. And you know I like to caution you every now and then. When you get up there, get up here, don't mumble. Speak up. Let the church know what you're asking them for prayer. You don't have to tell them what you're asking for prayer for, but just simply let them know that you really need their prayers along with your own. You know you got to help yourself before I can help you. So ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength. This we can do together as we stand and sing the song of invitation.